Thank you so much, Jared. Good job. How are we doing back there? Am I muted or am I on? I'm good. Okay. Very good. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Good to have my mother-in-law here tonight. She made it across the mountain. And good to have her here. So we needed a babysitter. We called her. She came. And no, I'm glad to have her. She's going to be coming back in about a month and speaking to the ladies, and we're excited about that. And if you know any ladies, friends, invite them out, okay? You say, oh, Pastor Creed, I work at a place where I'm not allowed to speak about religion or anything like that. Just invite them out for a meal. Tell them it's a meal at our church on a Saturday, and want to invite you out. It's a free meal, okay? I don't know who would pass up a free meal, amen? I know I wouldn't. So if anybody wants to give me, no, we're not going to get into that. Acts chapter 2, verse number 43. We're continuing through our study in Acts, and it was good this morning to look in Joshua chapter 1. I love the book of Joshua. But getting back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and verse number 43. We're going to go from 43 all the way to the end of the chapter. The last time we looked in Acts, it was verse 42. We talked about a steadfast church. Now we're looking at verse 43. It says, "And the fear came upon every soul, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common." Verse 45, "And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." That's the first yard sale. Amen. Verse 46, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved." We're going to look in Acts chapter 43. Look at those words there. "Fear came upon every soul." That's what happens when we confront the power of God. When the power of God is present in our church, there's an awe among us. It's something that is great and powerful. We see the power of God. And I'll talk to you this evening about the power of God in the local church. The power of God in the local church. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can spend in your word. What amazing time we had this morning. Thank you so much for those that came out. Thank you for your word. Lord, you promised that it will not return any void. But Lord, help us now as we speak. Fill me with your spirit. Do what I cannot do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A.W. Tozer said this, "God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things that we can do by ourselves." Charles Spurgeon said this, "Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire, we are useless." As we look at this portion of Scripture, we see that there is the beginning of the local church. We've gone through the chapter 2. We know that God has, Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven, and they went back into the upper room and started praying. We saw Pentecost continuing here. We saw that the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they began filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And then we see in verse 43, "And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." The sign gifts that they received at the time, they received the Holy Spirit and the sign gifts came out. The signs and wonders were done. And all that believed were together and had all things common. I want to start by number one, the power of God rests in the Word of God. The power of God rests in the Word of God. Verse 43 says, "The fear came upon every soul." This word fear is an alarming. Here's what took place. The apostles and disciples spoke in tongues and worked miracles, and this was different when they didn't understand what was going on. This was different when this is the first thing that they saw. Okay? Can you imagine in that day, they don't have the technology that we do in this day. But can you imagine what was going on in that day? They couldn't explain what was going on other than it was God. That's what that word sign was. That this has to be God. This is what God used. He used signs and wonders as the New Testament to these people. They didn't have the New Testament. So this was God's son. So the signs were the New Testament, these people. These apostles, this was the gospel to these people. The preaching, the witnesses, the preaching through the signs and wonders, this was the gospel to these people. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians, if you don't mind. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm laying a little bit of a foundation here for the sermon. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 8. We looked at this at the beginning of chapter 2. We're coming back to this at the end of chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, we looked at this when we dealt with tongues. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fall. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, you say, what do you mean by what they know in part? They don't have the complete New Testament. They don't have the complete Word of God now. At the time it's writing there, the Word of God was not complete. So they only knew in part. From the signs, from the wonders, from the speaking in tongues. They didn't know everything that God wanted us to know from the Word of God yet. And we prophesy, what's the word? In part. But when that which is perfect, and when we talked about tongues, what were we saying that which is perfect was? You can talk. That's the Word of God. When that which is perfect is come, that's the Word of God. Why don't we speak in tongues anymore? Why don't we have sign gifts anymore? Because we have the complete Word of God. And so when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Here's what he's talking about. We're in the childish times. We don't know as much as we did. We don't know as much as we will when we're an adult. Right? How many of you had a child that had a car in the race? Very good. How many of you, your child did everything to that car? You didn't touch it. No hands are up. What are you talking about? You mean to tell me you got that car ready for them and they? Why is that? Because they're a child. They didn't know. You don't want them on that bandsaw cutting, do you? No, we don't. We don't want them having to use that machinery. And then your wife, fellas, does not want your children on the paint set painting in the living room, right? That's not how it works. We don't want that. That's a nightmare. Why? Because the child doesn't know as much as the adult. Now, when they become teenagers, they know more than the adults, right? But that's what he's dealing with here. He says, right now in this time, we're at a child stage. We don't have the New Testament yet. We don't have the complete Word of God. But then now we do. We live in a day and age now where we have the Word of God. We don't have to speak in tongues. I'm not giving you some new prophecy. We have the complete Word of God. We have that which is perfect. I want you to think with me. The Word of God is complete. The Word of God is complete. We have the complete Word of God in our hands today. Now, if someone comes and tells you, Pastor Creed, or comes and tells you, says, hey, I know who's going to come down and who's going to be the Antichrist. I know exactly who's going to be the Antichrist. You can say, no, you don't. You know why they don't know? Because we have the complete Scripture right here. There's no new prophecy. God's not going to come down and give somebody a new prophecy to behold on us. All the prophecy God has given to us, He's given to us and He allowed us to see everything He wants us to see in the Word of God. Let me go over that again. Okay, I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. That which is perfect is come. We have the Word of God, the complete Word of God. That's why we don't speak in tongues anymore. That's why we don't have prophets anymore. Because there's no more prophecy. We have it all right here. When someone comes and says, I know who the Antichrist is, you could say, you're wrong. You don't know. It's not revealed in Scripture. The only person that knows is God. Amen? But we can have the complete Scripture. Revelation 22 verse 18 says, For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. I don't want to be that man. But look at this, verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I don't want to be that person either. But there are movements now that say we can have new revelation. Be careful. That's false teachings. Okay? J. Rodman Williams wrote this. The Bible, now this is false, okay? I want you, before I start reading, this is false. The Bible truly has become a fellow witness to God's present activity. If someone today perhaps has a vision of God, of Christ, it is good to know that it has happened before. If one has a revelation from God, to know that for the early Christians, revelation also occurred in the community. If one speaks a thus says the Lord and dares to address the fellowship in the first person, even going beyond the words of Scripture, that this was happening long ago. How strange and remarkable it is. If one speaks in the fellowship of the Spirit of the Word of Truth, it is neither his own thoughts and reflections, nor simply some exposition of Scripture. For the Spirit transcends personal observations, however interesting or profound they may be. The Spirit, as the living God, moves through and beyond the records of past witnesses, however valuable such records are as a model for what happens today. That is false. Here's what that is. Matthew 24, 24. For there shall be arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Listen, if someone comes up to you and tells you they have a new prophecy, they're lying. It's false. Okay? You say, why, Pastor Creed? Because, say with me, that which is perfect is come. Say it with me, ready? That which is perfect is come. That's the Word of God. Now, if that which is perfect is come and we have it, then it is not only complete, but it is correct. It is correct. We must accept it as correct. If God's word is not correct or true, then we have no power. Like I said, the first point is the power of God rests in the Word of God. The power of God rests in the Word of God. We cannot have the power of God if the Word of God is not in our lives. It cannot happen. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19 says, We have also a more sure word of prophecy. That's the Word of God, the Bible. Whereunto ye do dwell, that take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We have a complete Word of God. We have a correct Word of God. It is inspired and it is infallible. It is 100% true. We have the Word of God. We can know it is complete truth of what God wants to reveal to us. We have truth. It is unmistakably error-free and it is indisputably the truth. Through God's Word, we have the power of God. What does that mean to you? This morning I talked about the Word of God, that 88% of American households own a copy of the Word of God, yet 10% have a biblical worldview. What does that mean? Here's what that means. Although we have the Word of God, and although the power of God rests in the Word of God, we are not tapping into that like we should. We are not utilizing, we are not committed, we are not submitted to the Word of God like we ought to be. And it starts in the local church. It starts with the Christians teaching God's Word. Fathers, it is your responsibility to teach your children. It is not the Christian schools. It is not the government schools. It is not Sunday schools. It is your job, your responsibility. It lies with you. Amen? The power of God rests in the Word of God. The power of God remits through the Holy Spirit. The power of God remits through the Holy Spirit because He, the Holy Spirit, is God. Let's get a hold of this for a second. Okay? The Holy Spirit lives within us, and the Holy Spirit is God. That means God is living within you. Okay? Now, I want you to get a hold of this because I want you to make sure you understand this. Just because you are a created being does not mean that the Holy Spirit lives within you. You have to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and then the Holy Spirit indwells you. When you accepted Christ, when you made a decision to accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt with you. Now, when that happens, we have the power of God that rests in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that can help you get to the power of God. And that's something. You say, what does that mean? That means a lost person cannot read this book like a saved person can. A lost person that is without the Holy Spirit cannot read this Bible like a saved person can. Okay? The power of God remits through the Holy Spirit. And what brings us together? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And listen to this, ye are not your own." What does that mean, that you're not your own? Right? How many of you ever heard of demon possession? Yeah. Here's what this is. This is Holy Spirit possession. When the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in you, you are possessed by the Holy Spirit. Now, when that happens, you have to make a conscious decision every day, every moment of the day, to be filled with the Spirit, to give the Holy Spirit control of your decisions in your life. Okay? That's giving up your rights to God. Pastor Creed, I got rights! As a Christian, we give those rights to the Holy Spirit, to God. And we allow God to work in and through us. We allow God to work in and through us. It says, "And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price." Now, here's interesting. "Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." We belong to Him, and our whole purpose for our life is to glorify God. Every aspect of our life is to glorify God. Think about the decisions that you made this week that glorified God. Do you have any? Do you have any decisions that you made this week that did not glorify God? That disappointed God? The decisions that you made to glorify God, they are directed through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. So we're coming to a close here soon, okay? But let's review. The power of God rests where? The Word of God. And the Holy Spirit that lives within us helps us to remit that power of God, the Word of God, helps us understand the Word of God. When we get into the Bible, when we start reading the Bible, it helps us to understand, gives us understanding to read the Bible, gives us this direction to read the Bible. It helps us to utilize that power. There is no power like the Holy Spirit power, because the Holy Spirit is God Himself within us. The Wizard of Oz says, look inside yourself and find yourself. God says, look inside yourself and find the Holy Spirit. See, the first will get you to Kansas. The latter will get you to the obedience of God. How can I hear the Holy Spirit talking to me? Pastor Creed, I know I'm saved, and I know that I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need to relinquish my rights and be led by completely by the Holy Spirit. How can that be possible? Before refrigerations, people used ice houses to preserve their food. Mr. Buck knows about these. I'm just joking. His wife's not here. I can pick on him. Ice houses had thick walls, no windows, and a tightly fitted door. In winter, when streams and lakes were frozen, large blocks of ice were cut. They were hauled to ice houses, and they were covered with sawdust. Often the ice would last well into the summer. One man, while he was working in an ice house, lost a very valuable watch. And while working in an ice house, he was very distraught. That watch was very valuable to the man. They looked and they looked and they looked, and frantically looking for that watch, they could not find it. His friend came in there and started helping him look in that ice house, and through all the sawdust, they couldn't find the watch. Disgusted, he went out the door, and a little child was out there, a little boy. Heard the discussion, heard the disgust. He walked in the ice house. He shut the door, and he found the watch. He brought it out, gave it to the man. The two men looked surprised and said, how in the world did you find this watch? There is no way. This watch was lost. We looked all over this ice house. He said, I shut the door tight where there's no noise. I got down on the ground and I quieted my breathing to where I can hear the watch tick. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings. Elijah was listening to the Lord. In verse 9, 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9, he says, And it came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. Said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken the covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thine prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, read that with me, ready? A still, small voice. So Pastor Creed, I want to hear the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit alive in me. I want to be able to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Quiet the flesh. Do you hear me? Quiet the flesh. Humble yourself. That's why it's important to get alone with God. Away from distractions. Giving yourself to God in a quiet place. I believe God speaks to us, directs us in our thinking in a quiet place. The power of the Holy Spirit. Then the power of God is revealed through the love of God. We see the power of God rests in the Word of God, remits in the Holy Spirit, and then it's revealed through the love of God. If we're looking now, let's look at our passage of scripture in Acts chapter 2, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. If you look at verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. While being indwelled, saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit, we are drawn to each other with the love of God. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. How many believe God is love? There's no love like God's love. God demonstrated his love when he sent his son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. As we come to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, how is love implemented in the local church? Look at verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ. Consolation in Christ. Are you in Christ? Amen. If any comfort of love. If any fellowship of the Spirit. This verse almost lines up directly with Acts chapter 2, verse 45 and 46. If any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same what? Love. The same love. Being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem one other better than themselves. Look not every man unto his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in who? Christ Jesus. Here it is. We want the power of God in this local church. Amen. We must be founded on the Word of God. We must be found on the Word of God. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And may that lead to a loving congregation, a loving body of Christ. Now look, we can have everything, but without love, it's nothing. You say, how can that be, Pastor Creed? The Bible tells us that. We looked at the passage of Scripture. We looked at 1 Corinthians, and let's turn back there. I want you to see this. I know I'm having you turn, but let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now I'm gonna talk about something, and I want you to listen up, but I want to say this. If God is love, then we can do this with confidence that we are not blaspheming the Scriptures. I'm not going to change the Scriptures, nor do I believe this is what I should what I should do or say. The change of Scriptures. However, I am just proving a point that God is love, and the only true love that is revealing the power of God is in the love of Christ. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. How many times is charity mentioned in this chapter? First, look at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men, of angels, and have not what? Could you say Jesus too? And have not Jesus, I am become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Could you say that? That would be true. Now, I'm not trying to rewrite the Bible, and I don't want to do that. I'm not saying that's what should be, but I'm saying it's still true. Why? Because God is love. God is charity. Look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Would that be true if we said Jesus? I have nothing without Jesus. Look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, could we say Jesus? It profiteth me nothing. Do you believe that Jesus suffereth long? Do you believe that he is kind? Do you believe that he envieth not? Do you believe that he vaunteth not himself? Do you believe that he is not puffed up? I believe so. Look at verse 8. Charity never what? Don't you believe that Jesus never faileth? Amen. Listen, without love, we're without Jesus. Without love, we're without Jesus. Well, it does a pastor's heart so, it encouraged me so well this morning when our church family surrounded these first responders and loved on them. Amen? And when visitors walk in here and we surround them, shake hands, so glad you're here, and love on them. And we see each other every service. That love goes for each other too. You understand what I'm saying? We ought to love each other. If you're filled with the Spirit, and I'm filled with the Spirit, and they're filled with the Spirit, then we are connected with each other by the power of God, and we're able to love each other. And nothing can come between that. Not a disagreement. Well, Pastor Creed, he wore a pink tie today. You know what they say about men who wear pink ties, right? Pastor Creed, his hair is touching his ears. I saw it with my own eyes. Some of the silliest, I'm going to say it, dumbest things come between Christians. And I'm just going to tell you, if it's going to stay between us, we're missing out on the power of God. And if you care about Temple Baptist Church, the best thing you could do is get along with somebody that you're at odds against, that you have bitterness towards, and get that settled tonight. You say, how am I supposed to do that? You got to humble yourself and be filled with the Spirit and take care of that. Take care of that. We have the Word of God. We're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we have to have love. We have to have love. If I had a glove up here, and I sat this glove right up here on this platform, and I said, you'll never guess, this is Rocky's glove. Yesterday, this glove chopped up that tree up there at the gym. And this glove pulled that tree from that spot where it was, all the debris, and pulled it all the way down to the woods. Isn't that great? Let's give this glove a round of applause. You'd say, Pastor is crazy. All right, deacon's got to meet after the service. All right? And yet that's how we treat the church. The church did this and the church did that. But we need the power of God to do anything. See, when Rocky's hand went into the glove was able to help Rocky complete a task. And he got the task done. We're just the glove. But we want to be the glove with the hand in it, with God's hand in it. The power rests in the Word of God. The power amidst the Holy Spirit. And the power is revealed through the love of God.